¡Órale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. Primos in the house, it's Ask Familia Anything time.
What? Ask us anything. I love it. Oh, I love these. These are great. These are a lot of fun.
Sea, lo que sea, whatever you want. We put out the word and we are, and it's happening now. It is happening now. So it's
fun time. Happy fun time.
How are we feeling about that, Nico? We're gonna ask you some really, really in-depth questions. So
it's tough questions.
It's gonna be really hard hitting
questions.
Can I say data? Or is it just truth, right? It's all it is, right? Right?
Spin the bottle.
Yeah. Eat the poop on the ground. I'll do that instead. Yeah, that's it. We'll be 7 years old again.
I love it.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, listen, guys, Primos, how cool is it? I think on Sunday we're 4 weeks away from I think we might be 3 weeks away on Sunday
from three weeks.
Our Familia draft. Our Familia draft. Nico, the host, El Campeón.
The host of the most. I'm tell me,
welcome to Fantasy Island, Fantasy Football.
I am your host.
I am Dr. Rourke, your fantasy. Oh, I'm sorry, Victor. No, you're gonna get last place again. No fantasy. Place,
really. But it's all fantasy Island. Yeah.
Hey, Are you working on the menu, Primo?
I am.
That's my first Ask Me Anything.
I am.
The liquid menu.
Oh yeah, I was about to say I asked for a menu, and all I got was like LA brewery. So that's all I got. I didn't understand that. So, is that a crab leg? Like, no, that's down there in Monkish. That's your new beer. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know that. So,
yes.
Oh man. Well, hey, we're in the middle of training camp right now. And, we had the appetizer last week. Real games are coming up this week. And I love the fact that we're going to actually get to see some football. We're getting reports, we're seeing videos and everything like that. I'm looking forward to the fact that being able to see football. How are anything you guys are excited about that you want to see coming up?
I want to see football.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a very basic request. I just want to see football, man. Last year with COVID, things were kind of weird and different and, with empty stadiums and all that kind of stuff. And, just looking for some, getting back to the normal, football a little bit. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, I want to see some great stats, but that would be like high vaccine percentage. Low positive rates. I want the games to actually happen. At this point now,
yes,
I'm being
yes.
selfish. They talk about being people. I want to see football, so I want them to play. And 2 weeks off for my quarterback, whoever that may be, may be a problem. So,
I think most of the superstar quarterbacks. I mean, we've already heard that Aaron Rodgers is not going to play during spring games. I mean, during preseason games. So we already
spring
know
training.
That.
Yeah. No spring training for Aaron Rodgers.
No spring training. not for Russell Wilson either.
New York Yankees. Those baseball players. Yeah, exactly.
But the Matthew Stafford isn't going to see any action, but I mean, there's going to be some things. In fact, I just finished a podcast with the Dynasty League Football podcast. Gracias, Calvin and Hobby, for inviting me to be on talking about the Rams. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that running back, timeshare is going to be working out. Is Daryl Henderson going to get a lot of play? Is he not? The other one I'm really looking forward to, because I just finished posting a beat writer series with Mike Rothstein of the ESPN. He's the beat writer for the Atlanta Falcons. You know what that means, Primo, Hector?
Kyle Pitts.
We talked about him a little bit, un poquito hablamos. We talked about him. Let's hope we get to see him. If we don't get to see him in preseason games, I keep wanting to call him spring training. If we don't see him in preseason games, it's because they're just waiting to unleash the beast on September 12th.
Some people are going to be sleeping on Kyle Pitts, not me. No way, man.
No, there's no one sleeping on Kyle Pitts. No one's sleeping on Kyle Pitts. No.
Okay.
No, you maybe you sleep on Kyle Allen, you know.
Right. Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. You're not sleeping on Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts.
Ay, Dios mío. Now, Nico, you love to do the gambling. Are you going to be making any preseason bets already?
Well, since we're live. Oh wow, I got a little echo. Sorry, one second. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Perfect.
Sorry. I wanted to make it dramatic. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
it was, man. Wow. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
I am excited to make some legal bets since we're live on the air right now. But it's funny. If you go to preseason, I always bet the opposite because you don't know what's going to happen. And to tell you the truth, it's kind of like if you look at it, all the games are the over-under is 35. And the spread is 1.5 points on all of them because they have no idea who's going to do
it's what. Coin toss. It's a coin toss.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to throw a game, that's the one you want to do it. So you know, that's the little shaving points. That's the ones they're going to do because it's like you can go in there.
Right.
Hey, Primoz, we got our first question coming in on the chat. Maddie Daddy 2652. Mi hermano, cómo estamos? Looking forward to being on your show. Are we expecting a lot from Trevor Lawrence year one, Nico? You gave him the nickname Fabio Football. Are you excited about him?
I am. I think he's going to go out there, and I think, you know what, preseason is probably going to light it up because he wants to show the world. Because, man, he's going to get out there, and he's got the Clairol commercial. He's got, oh, man, that hair is going to be out there. So
head and shoulders with Troy Polamalu and Patrick Mahomes. You know it's coming. You know it's coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are we going to see running from him? I want to see him run. I think he basically set too high a bar with that, you know, 72-yard run against the Ohio State back in January of 2020. But I want to see him. I don't maybe not run as much as like a Josh Allen, but definitely. I think he's got some weapons in his receiver.
Yeah, I mean, NFL is a copycat league. Everyone knows that. And, you know, obviously we know that Trevor Lawrence has been paying attention to, you know, what has made quarterbacks successful these last few years. And those quarterbacks that are doing well, you know, are running the ball. So he knows, you know, I think if he has the opportunity, he's going to take off. So we shall see.
I think one thing that's going to be sneaky good about him is their defense is still not very good. So I think he's going to have a lot of times where he's going to have to sling it. And the early reports are, you know,
Lucas
Chenault has been a stud. DJ Chark.
He's making the throws. I've seen some video coming out of training camp, and he's making the throws, man. Like you said, Chenault, they're, those guys are catching the ball. And, yeah, big things coming for Trevor, I think.
Maybe not top 12, but I think he might sneak into the top 12 because of the rushing upside, but I think he'll definitely do he's going to have some boom games.
Yeah, I mean, what was his contract like? I mean, as a rookie, I mean, they're giving them what, 3 year? Do you remember what his contract was?
4 years, four-year contract.
Okay. Yeah. Because
with the option for a fifth.
Okay. Because I mean, the big bucks come after that first year and kind of renegotiate. I don't think he's going to run that much. I think he's going to be careful, get out there. You know, is his line going to protect him? I think he's mature enough on that end for long distance. I don't, you know, for long-term, you know, viability, I don't see him running a lot this year. I mean, I think he's going to sit in the pocket, take it, small little runs, but I don't see him trying to jump in the end zone, you know, have him take out his knees.
After Joe Burrow's injury, that's another thing I'm sure he's paying attention to. You know, be smart as well. You know, make sure you're doing the right thing. Smart play.
I want to see him do like the baseball players, Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes, slide. I want to see him slide like Trey. I don't know if you guys
like Trey Turner. Trey Turner slide. Oh man,
just go down.
Smooth criminal, like Michael Jackson, man, it's awesome. Hell yeah.
Go down. Just don't pop back up because then they can hit him again. So,
for sure.
Unless you're popping back up in out of bounds. Oh man.
Right.
Matty Daddy. Gracias, mi amigo. Gracias, mi amigo. Shots on me next time. Okay. Oh, man. Now, so let's get into some chisme, primos.
Chisme.
All right. So. You know,
all right.
We are talking about who are we talking about first? We are talking about
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz
coming back
there
to start week one. Really? I mean, I thought all really. What does Dr. Porras say about his prospects for playing?
Well, he's a lot more conservative. He's worried, you know, he's kind of like his original timeline was closer to the 12 weeks. But, you know, they did say it's a 5 to 12 week, and 5 weeks is September 12th for that surgery. Hmm. So he's trending to possibly play. So I think if he's healthy to play, but he doesn't have any practice time, do you guys run him out there? I don't know.
I don't. I mean, obviously you got to be a little bit conservative with him. You know, it's a foot. You know, he's a big dude. You know, we know about Greg Oden. We know about Yao Ming. You know, obviously he's not 7 feet tall, but Carson Wentz is not a small guy either.
He's still
60. Yeah, exactly. He's not. I mean, I was talking about
40.
No. Greg Oden's a tiny man.
He's a tiny man.
Greg Oden and Yao Ming are, you know, 7 foot, 300 pounds. I'm saying he's not that, but he's a big dude. My point is that anyone as big as Carson Wentz or bigger, there's going to be a lot of strain, a lot of weight put on your foot. So the more conservative you can be with the foot, the better. My big question now that I'm understanding that he's going to come back sooner than later is that if anyone's poo-pooing Jonathan Taylor, I think, those concerns are, you don't have to worry about that anymore. I think if Carson Wentz is going to be back there, you know, Jonathan Taylor's all systems go.
And the other thing, Quentin Nelson, the all-pro left guard for them, is he had the same injury the day right after. There's a possibility that he's going to be back, on the same timeline. You look at him, with it being a guard, you could probably insert him in, but it's just the quarterback that gives me a little masicosa. I don't know about that one. Some good news is Saquon Barkley. He's off the PUP list, physically.
Really?
So he's now practicing in full. He's currently the RB8, going off as the 110 in the first round. So number 10 pick in the first round. Nico, where are you picking?
I'm number two.
Number two.
I'm number four. Heck, you're what, number seven?
I think I'm seven or eight. Either one of those. I think Ricky's seven. I think I'm eight.
So are you thinking about Saquon there?
I'm not.
Why?
I'm not. I don't know, man. I don't trust the Giants offense. And I also I want to wait a little bit on Saquon. Yes, he's back, and I'm fading him a little bit only because, well, let's do this. I want to watch preseason. I know he's not going to play too much in preseason. I want to watch a little bit. He's obviously going to do something in preseason. I'd like to see a little something from him. But I mean, anytime, like for me in the first round, one of my rules of thumb is I don't want to jump in on someone where there's a risk. I get a risk reward. We all understand a risk reward. But in the first round, there's so many other guys that are not coming off an injury that I'd rather pick than a guy that's coming off of a significant injury like Saquon. And, there's a big question mark. So, there's a lot of other guys that I'd rather lean on that have not been recently injured that badly, and that's more what I'm leaning to. It's not necessarily that I don't like Saquon. I think the guy has potential to be a stud or a superstar. Again, obviously, he's Saquon Barkley. But I just want to lean in the first round, at least my first pick, to someone that hasn't been injured.
Well, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a guy who picked Saquon Barkley, number three, last year. First round. And – you all know what happened there.
Yeah, but that was before he got hurt. You picked him, right?
That's right. But what happened was he was gone. But yet, that same man
won
the trophy, as you can see right there. Came back without it. But there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. So there's risk return, but I hear what you're saying. I wouldn't pick him,
Yeah, just because of the injury, there's so many other guys that you can pick that are not injured. And I put my eggs in those baskets.
The one thing with him, I'm kind of getting that feeling. Remember on draft day, everybody was just kind of like going nuts over Alvin Kamara.
And yeah, faded. He passed the first round.
Well, he was the number
one. But that's different. I mean, he wasn't that hurt. I mean, the rumors were back injury, epidurals and stuff like that. So, those are worrisome things to say, reports coming out of training camp, he's getting shots in his back. Like, oh my God, that's pretty significant. So you know, yeah, so he got faded and he went all the way. But yeah, to your point, he came back and had a stud, crazy season. What, 6 TDs in one game, was it? Insane.
Yeah, so, on Christmas Day.
Yeah, so, you know, there's but yeah, risk-reward, like I said, risk-reward. But I'm not that guy.
Adios mio. So, you know, the next one, Xavier Jones of the Rams, one of the running backs that all of a sudden is getting more of a prominent role with the injury to Cam Akers. He's having a positive impact. Is, you know, Daryl Henderson, I think I'm worried that he's not going to be a guy who's going to carry the ball 250 times and get another 50 targets. 50 to 60 targets. Are we looking at him and Jake Funk as possible guys to take as a flyer, especially considering the fact that Henderson has gotten hurt the last couple of years?
Well, I mean, RBBC, running back by committee, is already a red flag, you know? A lot of question marks there in Ram Town, man. And you're a resident Ram expert, George. So let us know, man. What do you think?
I'm looking at him, and I'm kind of a little worried. I'm a little worried about Henderson. I think it's going to be an RBBC.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen. And it's going to. I think he's going off. Daryl Henderson is currently going off as I'm looking it up right now. Where is he? He's at the 404. So he's the RB22. I think he's going to go up. I think he's going to end up somewhere in the third round. And I'm worried that he could disappoint because, you know, he'll lose some targets. I think he's going to get targets, touches. I think he's going to get the important ones, stuff in the red zone. But I'm a little worried he's, you know, that other guys are going to outperform him. So
right.
Yeah, I think they're going to be more like less like the Niners, who did a great job by committee, and more like Denver, which I couldn't figure out who's supposed to run the ball, you know. I don't know. I'm LA too, you know. I want to see them do well, but I don't see it, you know.
Right.
Well, speaking of guys we want to see do well, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He was a player who took last year off because he's also a resident physician. Is you know, in Canada, so he went up to Canada to fight COVID for a year,
and that's awesome.
So he came back, broke his hand, and so he's gonna be up 4 to 6 weeks. The 4 weeks has him ready for opening day, and 6 weeks obviously, you know, gets him, you know, is week three. It's a tough one because we're all expecting big things out of CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So it's something – this is one they kind of keep an eye on because we all saw with the offensive line not doing well what it did to the Chiefs. And this is a former starting guard that helped them win a Super Bowl. So
they need it, yes.
So something to keep an eye on there. And, you know, Nico, since you love the 49ers so much, you know, their nemesis, the Dallas Cowboys, Amari Cooper, he passed his physical and he's now active. Ready for, you know, ready to take part in training camp. I don't think we're going to see him in preseason games, but I doubt we'll see him take anyone. This is a lot of ankle and foot injuries for him. Anybody fading him?
I like Amari Cooper. it all depends. I mean, you can tape up guys pretty well, especially at the beginning of the season. Everyone feels good. It's when you get hit that 10th time, it's like, man, it's starting to hurt. And then, you know, the wheels start to fall off, but you know, I don't know. You know, we'll have to see how things progress.
Who has a high ADP of the Dallas receiving core? Is it him? Is it where's the CD at?
CD, they're about the same right now.
That's what I was about to say. And again, I lean towards the you know, the uninjured. So if it was me and it was, you know, if it came to that spot in the draft and I'm looking for that receiver and I'm thinking between Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, I'm probably leaning to CeeDee Lamb. Because I don't like question marks, and I know there's a lot of managers out there, fantasy managers out there that are kind of fall into that category of like, you know what, let me drop some healthy guys or guys that don't need to be taped up and have those question marks about, you know, is that ankle gonna hold up? You know, how is that? You know, he's coming off of the PUP list, so You know, these are not small injuries. So especially for a receiver and an ankle, it's concerning. So if it's me, I'm definitely looking at CeeDee Lamb over Amari Cooper.
Yeah, Nico, the pup list isn't for the dog. Okay, so.
Yeah. That's not the vet. He's not at the vet. What's he doing at the vet? So weird.
No, doctor, you don't understand.
I do.
Cooper, Amari Cooper.
But yeah, I'm looking up right now. I'm looking right now. They are CeeDee Lamb has he crept ahead of him? He is 308 right now. So he's the wide receiver 11, and Cooper's the wide receiver 16, 408.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
Full round after him.
That's what I'm saying.
Full round after him.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Ay, Dios mío. So that's I mean, we've gotten a lot.
Ankle's a big deal, man. Ankle's a big deal, you know. And CeeDee Lamb's healthy, and he's fast, and he's talented, and why not?
And you know me and my and the year two guys.
Year two guys, number two.
You know me and those, number two. Number two.
Year number two.
Georgie, that's so tough work of you. Come on.
Move on. Yeah, exactly. So the last one, Darren Waller has missed 8 practices in a row.
That's not good. That is not good.
I'm worried about this one, Primos. I'm really
the
worried.
The team hasn't revealed what's bothering him. Like, what? Like, what's up? You know, I mean, something's obviously wrong. Something is obviously wrong. So at what point, George, do they need to like actually put out an injury report and actually say, is that actual season, like week one, they have to actually say like, this guy's got a broken collarbone or, you know, whatever it is, they have to say, but in preseason, they don't have to say?
Not yet. I think, I don't know exactly when they have to report it.
That's what I'm just wondering. Cause it's all over social media. Like what's wrong with Darren Waller? Like, why isn't he practicing? Like, nobody knows, man. It's like the great big secret. So that's never a good thing.
You know? It's either blackjack or craps. You know, they just can't get them off the table. I don't know.
For exactly. 8 days.
Or cheerleaders. I don't know. Those are all three of my vices. I got to tell you.
Your Miami vices. Exactly.
Las Vegas vices. There you go.
Your Vegas vices. There you go.
Vegas vices. Say that 3 times.
All right. So Primos, I'm gonna add to our chat right here. So I'm gonna add in a comment.
Yes,
because it's ask me anything time. Ask
Let's
me
go.
Anything. So
ask us anything within reason.
Within reason. We're trying to be reasonable.
Like within reason, you know.
Yes, this is my hair. It is my hair. So
it is. So so from editor CJP, a good friend of mine, Chris. I know why you're asking this question. Who is the guy you're hoping falls to the middle rounds? That'll give you top round production. My league is 10 teams, 2 quarterbacks, head to head with 4 flex positions. So no kicker, no defense. The reason why he's asking this is, he and I are in the same league. So.
Well, middle rounds is what, like 6, 7, 8, that kind of thing?
Yeah, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, Nico, you got your echoes there right again, Nico.
I didn't say it. Oh, I need an echo. Well, let me ask the 2 quarterback league, which I'm just now starting to get into. I guess quarterbacks go first even before running backs. 2 quarterbacks may go first. So I don't know. This is something that I'm interested to hear too because, you know, middle rounds, everyone's all done by round 3, right, with quarterbacks?
I'm looking – and this question, the name that pops into my head is Cole Beasley.
Really?
I don't know. I go only because, I mean, that offense, I mean, Cole Beasley, he's always been like the underrated guy. That guy always puts up solid production. He's a hard worker. He's a hard runner, solid routes. He's always getting some solid points week after week. And nobody really talks about him that much. But I think there's Stephon Diggs had got obviously a lot of attention last year. And Josh Allen, that 1-2 punch is crazy. And I think of kind of him like Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. I think Cole Beasley can be a nice number 2 punch with Stephon Diggs there in Buffalo. And I think he might just blossom and blow up. You know, I don't know if you say blossom with Cole Beasley because that guy's a monster. But that guy, seriously, I think this might be the year that you can get Cole Beasley somewhere in those mid rounds, and he might put up like, you know, top four round production.
So I'm looking at this one. So I'm looking in the 60 to 75 range. I'm looking at rankings on Fantasy Football Calculator.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm staring at
Travis. Is Beasley in there? I'm just curious. I was picking
He's later.
Even later. I'd see big things for him. I'd pick him for sure. Mid-rounds.
You know, I want to see him get a you know, I'd like to see his stance on
great hands, man. Beasley's got some great hands, man. He's underrated.
I'd like to see his stance on vaccine, you know, COVID vaccines change a little bit, but that's a conversation for another day.
Right. I'm looking at points. I'm looking for points.
So you know what? A couple that I'm looking at here in the kind of like, you know, pick number six, you know, ranking number 65 in Fantasy Football Calculator, TJ Hawkinson, to get a starting tight end at that point, the tight end only, that's a good one. Cooper Kupp at pick number 68 is great. Oh, Kirk Cousins, you know, you're getting your second quarterback in the sixth round, and it's Kirk Cousins who threw 35 touchdowns last year.
To Justin Jefferson?
Ooh, yep.
And to Adam Thielen? I just mentioned those guys right now. So, yeah, for sure.
Another one that
On the list, whenever you have your cheat sheet, you always got the crossouts, and then there's that middle circle one. Like, you know, no one's picked that wide receiver. You don't want to say anything. You're kind of
happened to me last year.
They had a few beers. Like, come on, don't say anything. But it always seems to be wide receivers that are the middle round, kind of like the nuggets. That you're just like, I can't believe I got him in
this. I got Keenan Allen in the seventh round last year. Insane.
Well, there you go. Exactly. That's what you want to look for, is that wide receiver that nobody knows
about. Nobody, you circled, but nobody, but everybody else forgot about him. Everyone else accidentally put a line through him. And like, you know, it was by the time you're already drinking in the mid rounds, like your line was crooked and everybody else accidentally crossed out that guy, but you didn't. And then you're like, hey, here he is. There you go.
Oh man. All right. So we're going, let's see. I've got another
hot sauces.
The hot sauces. So
this is my forte right here. You got El Yucateco. You can find it. Habanero hot sauce. It's not even like not jalapeno, not serrano. This is habanero sauce. This stuff is
dígame
brings the heat. Yeah, you can find it at Vallarta. You can find it every once in a while, like at I actually saw it at Target, to be honest with you. I saw it at Target, which was very surprising to me.
What's the name of it again?
El Yucateco. There's a green one and a red one, and then like a Mayan, where this is like Mayan recipe, which is like really cool. It's like brown and weird looking, but it's like, this stuff is pretty awesome. You put on your carne asada. I put on everything. I put on my, you know, chicken tacos, you know, scrambled eggs, you know, whatever. That stuff is, El Yucateco. Go out and get it. It's hot. It's not for the faint of heart. I'm like a leather skin, like carpenter that's been carpentering for like 80 years. You know, I'm like that guy. Like my mouth is like numb to hot sauce. So for most people, this system will like blow your face apart. But I love it.
I'm a Norwegian man that's had ketchup and almost burned my tongue. And
I don't know
if I can handle that. You know?
Yeah, no. Yeah, this is the real. This stuff's a real deal. Put hair on your chest.
I will say, you know, and I'm more of a red salsa kind of guy because I do like the heat. But when it comes to the medium stuff, I like the you know, some of the fresh stuff that you get at most supermarkets, you know, and even like, you know, Trader Joe's makes, you know, pretty, you know, if you want just flavor and not a lot of heat, their pico de gallo is really good. So that's a personal favorite of mine. But yeah, when I want the heat, I'm going for, you know, give me the, you know, I'm just going to get the hot stuff, and I want the red. Yeah. And just vamonos.
Let's go.
All right.
How about you, Nico? You know a little bit about hot sauce, Nico. What's up, man?
Nico's Mexican food hot sauce.
There you go. Salsa all day, baby.
Here's a question. So you've got to bet your house on a team to win the Super Bowl. Who do you pick? Who is that? Who is you pick? You got to pick right now.
You got to pick. Ooh, that's a good one.
Kansas City. KC, man. Got to do it. Especially if that lineman's coming back, man.
I'm going the best quarterback, you know, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, got to do it. KC, got to do it.
How about you, Nico? Are you staying? Don't tell me 49.
Buffalo. He's taking Buffalo.
Buffalo. I'm gonna take Buffalo.
Oh. I knew it. Yeah. His bromance with Josh Allen, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. You're gonna have to get them in the second and third round. So yeah. I don't know if Stephon Diggs will last.
That went to the Olympics straight out of college, and they said, "I like that. I'm gonna go back in 4 years, and I'm gonna kick some butt." But it's just next year. So I see them coming over, you know.
Okay, we got a football question. Is Marvin Jones? Let's see. Let me put this one up. Is Marvin Jones worth?
Yeah, what team is he on? What team is he on now?
He's on Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
So we just talked about
Fabio football. With Fabio football. Ooh, maybe. That's a lot of receivers there, man. There's a lot of receivers there. You got Chanel. You got, man, what is he? Is he third in the pecking order? Fourth,
third
maybe?
In the pecking order, third in the pecking order, more than likely. Kind of like
that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Good. He's been good. And
yeah, but these young legs, man. And Marvin Jones, I mean, he's the wily, cagey veteran. So he's going to be able to get open in a lot of different ways. But at the same time, you know, he's kind of like the Albert Pujols of NFL. You know, he's still, you know, he's up there in age and he can do some good things, but. You know, we still want to go with, you know, the youngsters. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to lean on the young guys that are speedy and can jump high. And, you know, love to Marvin Jones, man. The guy, I've had him on several fantasy teams over the years, but I just think that he's going to be third in the pecking order. And I think Trevor's going to lean on the younger guys.
Well, Marvin Jones runs his routes. I mean, he doesn't get that many plays, but when he does, I mean, percentage-wise, I think he gets the ball quite a bit. He's just not put in that often, so.
I think he's a guy you kind of, you know, you grab him on the back end of your of your draft, and he's that guy that you can drop if you got to pick up a kicker or something like that. But yeah, I think you don't
just have him like as an insurance policy kind of thing. But yeah, I don't see real big fantasy production coming out of him. If Ricky was here, it could be like, man, don't draft that guy. That's just garbage. Don't even bother with Marvin Jones. He's old. No one's going to throw to him. That's what Ricky would say.
But you pick him up on a drafting day. He gets three touchdowns.
Right.
You'll be singing, "Me and Marvin, Marvin Jones.
So that question came from Rum Boys Robbie. Rum Boys Robbie, Robbie Johnson from the Rum Boys Fantasy Network. Mi hermano. Thank you so much. Always appreciate the love. He's got a second one that, Nico, I want you to answer first. What's your favorite draft day tradition?
That would have to be the drinking of the tequila shot.
We drink tequila shots? I think the best part of the draft is the trash talking. That's the best part for me.
Well, I will say I liked it that we had a couple years there. I think Hector, you started this tradition where we got announced, you know, our first pick got announced at, you know, where we played like walk-up music.
Yes. That was in the Rawls house. Yes. I remember I brought my laptop and that was back in the days before cell phones and you had to bring your laptop to the draft. Shout out to everybody that's used to do that. I mean, everyone's like, you know, your main question when you went to the draft is like, "Hey man, is there enough plugs? You know, for the laptops, man, you guys have enough plugs? You know, and what's your Wi-Fi password, man? What's your Wi-Fi?" Because that was the main concern. When you bring in your laptop, you need to plug it in so it didn't die. You need the Wi-Fi password. And then, yeah, one day I brought my laptop and I asked everyone for their walk-up music. So when you're walking up to do your pick, I would put in like your walk-up song to go up there and make your pick. So that was a lot of fun. It's always fun.
Also, you know, the champion is the host for the next year. So
that's the best tradition. Anybody out there? I know a lot of. I mean, obviously, there's so many leagues out there that have all their crazy traditions. But yeah, that's a good one. If any leagues are out there looking for, you know, a good tradition as far as, you know, big money leagues, you know, that guy's not the champ. He's pocketing a nice amount of cash. So, you know, put it on him to host, you know, the following year. You know,
Nico, al pastor tacos, por favor.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know a lot of people that are listening. You know, traditionally you might have gone to Vegas, you might have gone there, and there's a lot of people that have changed because, you know, originally we were going to go to Vegas, and the whole thing with COVID, I got one that I'm supposed to go to, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go, but a lot of people are going to bail. So, I think a lot of people are going to do virtual, or they're going to do it from home. I mean, we're going to be poolside, so it'll be good. We got crab legs, and we got custom T-shirts being made. So that'll be a custom outfit startup. So that's
good. I like that. Baby. T-shirt. Yeah. T-shirts. I love it. I championship T-shirts. I know people have crazy traditions, like, oh, for the actual season, like getting tattoos for the loser and stuff. But we don't go that far. But those are pretty cool traditions, too.
Yeah, if we had that, then Victor looked like he just got out of prison, man. All right. 12 years have passed. It's like, come on, man.
So, Primos, this one's coming from FF Shane B. What's your favorite tequila? Blanco, Reposado, or Añejo?
So there's a little bit of history or process. So every tequila, when it comes out of the distiller, is white, and that comes out of the still. So you're distilling your tequila, your agave, you know, sugar. You're fermenting it. You're distilling it. Actually, all spirits, when they first come out of the still, are clear. So that's your blanco. If you take that, you know, you figure out the alcohol, you cut it with your water, you bottle it. That's your tequila blanco. That's your youngest tequila. Still very good. Then you have your reposado, which they put it in a barrel for a couple years or a couple months, whatever it is. That's where you get the color. The color of tequila comes from the wood in the barrel. So the longer it stays in the barrel, the darker the color. So that's why you get like the reposado is kind of like a tannish kind of color. Your añejos are like a darker brown kind of color. So the añejo are the older ones, a little more refined, a little more smooth. So the older you get, obviously the more expensive you get, but the smoother the flavor you get. As far as brands go, my favorite brand is Herradura. So that's where I like to go. I mean, you know, for like sipping or making cocktails. Don Julio, obviously, you can't mess with Don Julio as like one of the kings of tequila. Don Julio stuff is Bombay. But for making cocktails, it just kind of relax and sipping. Herradura is A+. You got to try it out.
Nico, how about you?
I like Cazadora. So, you know, the old antlers.
The hunter.
That's old school. I mean, you see the old Mexican guys with the straw hats drinking that stuff. And
Cazadores, yes, man.
Yeah, that's kind of like sipping, kind of get it. And that tastes like tequila should taste.
Hanging out, yep.
But I am old school, so.
You guys mentioned two of my favorites. Another one that is a favorite, I've got a tall bottle of Centenario. It's very good. It's a reposado, so it's I usually like the blanco, but yeah, reposado. Oh,
can't mess with it.
It's good.
Yeah, and then there's the mystery tequila, the Costco tequila. That
was yeah, what country is that from? Costco.
yeah, Bellflowers.
Costco.
What state? All right, so is that? This one's a two-part question, two completely different things. We got.
That's right.
Favorite traditional Mexican dish and favorite NFL player of all time.
Favorite traditional Mexican. You know what? For me, what I love, and I don't know how traditional it is, but a wet burrito, like a burrito of like carne asada or like, you know, seasoned beef with like, you know, in a tortilla and like slathered and like cheese. And like red sauce or green sauce, that, you know, you go to like the, you know, a nice Mexican restaurant and you get that, you got to eat it with a fork. That's where I lean to. So I'll be thinking about favorite player. Now, your turn, Nico. What's your favorite food?
Well, I mean, if they put me on an island and I can only have one dish and one signed football, I'm going to have a chile verde burrito, maybe wet, like you said.
Yes.
Like creamy, you know, and it's one of those things that's going to be there. With my Joe Montana football sign right there. Right? So that's what you got. But you can always tell a good Mexican restaurant, say, can I try the chile verde? If it's good, they're a good place. But that's my little thing, a chile verde burrito with the works. So,
nice.
My staple, probably since I was 6 or 7 years old, my birthday food, mom's homemade enchiladas. So
bingo, mom's enchiladas, can't go wrong, man.
Cheese or chicken, you know, cheese, chicken. I mean, just seem homemade. Heaven. I mean, one year I got 16. I was trying to do a Joey Chestnut, and I think I got 16 in me. So I couldn't. It was amazing.
Yeah, they got to do that like a Cinco de Mayo tradition, right? Like taco eating contest. Right? that's come on. If you're listening, ESPN. That's next, or maybe put that on like, you know, Channel 34, right?
Yeah. I will say my number. number two would be that we went to Rosarita and we had lobster and beans and everything, and it tasted so good. They said, well, we take lard and then we put it with lobster and lard. Then we fry it lard and then we put it with lard and then put beans on the lard and then put it in lard. So that's pretty much why it tastes so good. So, yeah, so Georgie, I'm sorry, I cut you off on your favorite NFL player. So,
oh,
is it a Ram? Is it a Ram?
No, it's actually a Houston Oiler.
Whoa.
Old school, 1978 Rookie of the Year, Earl Campbell.
Earl Campbell, yeah.
Baddest man before he was what Derrick Henry is now. That was him then.
Is he the oil can? Did he still got to call him the oil can or something like that? I don't
remember that. He was just the baddest man. Just the baddest man. He had one run on Monday Night Football, 81 yards. Somebody had grabbed his jersey, so he's just running in his shoulder pads practically, and like he's got like a little, you know, some strings of his jersey hanging from his shoulder pads. But it was just that, hit the flak jacket, and he just took off.
He made the tearaway jersey famous. Everyone wanted one of those. Like, oh, give me 10 of those for one game.
He's like 5'11", 250, just a bad man.
All right, I'm gonna go with my favorite player now. I'm gonna go Bo Jackson.
Oh,
Bo Jackson! Not only because of what I mean, Bo Jackson was like, that was like must see TV, man. I remember when he was, you know, the Brian Bosworth game, like everybody was like couldn't wait to tune into that game, right? Because I had my Brian Bosworth poster on my wall, you know, like up to that point, like Brian Bosworth was like the baddest dude, right? But then here comes Bo Jackson. It's like, oh man, who's gonna win this matchup? You know, Bo Jackson, Brian Bosworth game. You know, Seattle Seahawks and the was it LA Raiders?
Yeah.
Yes, they were LA at the time.
LA Raiders, right? So, and I just remember when Bo Jackson pulled him over, I was like, yes. I was like, wow, man, like Bo Jackson, you're the baddest dude. Baddest. And then I, you know, of course, having Tecmo Bowl, you had Bo Jackson on your squad and Tecmo Bowl, you always were the Raiders, Tecmo Bowl, Bo Jackson. So, just the meanest dude. I remember feeling really super sad when he got injured. He messed up, I think it was his hip, right? He messed up his hip, yep. His leg.
Yeah. And,
I remember just being like so bummed out because that guy. And then, of course, I was a big time baseball fan, and that's when I was collecting baseball cards in '86. So I was collecting all the Bo Jackson, you know, rookie cards and all that kind of stuff. So I was a big fan of him on the Royals. You know, in the All Star game when he hit a ball into the air conditioner and like I think Metrodome, crazy power, speed. Guy was just a bad dude, and yeah.
Bo knows football.
Bo knows.
That question came to us from Shane Barrett at FF Shane B, who is also running a Polly's Playoffs charity tournament, raising money for Alzheimer's. I'm in the tournament. Thank you for the invite.
Nice.
I love it. I'm pumped. We're in the middle of a draft right now. So everybody keep a good thought for everybody who's fighting Alzheimer's.
For sure.
So we got another one. Three-part question. So non-Mexican food. It's your favorite type of food to eat. So we're gonna go non-Mexican food. Favorite type of food to eat. Favorite beer. And favorite NFL moment of all time.
I'll start. So,
go ahead.
I just did Bo Jackson. So you start, Nico.
Me? I gotta think about this. But favorite type of food. You know, besides Mexican food, I'll go. I'm up in wine country, so we get a lot of different things and everything. But I'll go ahead and say, you know, a good steak, you know, with good, you know, good little side dish and nice salad and a good red wine. So that, you know, we'll do that all day.
Vino rojo.
I can't see that. Yeah, I would have said the same thing, man. But right now I'm on this, like, crazy as it sounds, I'm on this like chicken sandwich kind of kick. There's like these spicy chicken sandwiches at different spots, man. Just for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe I'm like salt deficient or something right now because with all the heat, and I'm just like really like craving these chicken sandwiches. And I'm going out, and there's a bar in Toluca Lake called Foreman's Tavern. And I was like, I woke up like Saturday morning, I invited a girlfriend of mine. I said, we got to go get this chicken sandwich at Foreman's and just have a drink. So we went out, and it's a fantastic chicken sandwich. I think it was out in Toluca Lake area. Shout out to Foreman's Tavern, man. They make a killer, killer chicken sandwich, like spicy chicken sandwich.
Nice. Just meal. Mine, you know, I do love Thai. I love Asian foods. I mean, I just love all types of Asian foods. Just the different options, the curries, the fried rices, all the different options that come with it. You know, pad Thai. Mm-hmm. I mean, just get
sushi. We want to, yeah. That was my one B to my one A. I was like, we'll be sushi.
Sushi. All right. Favorite beer.
All-Star. Oh, man. Got to be Hazy's, man. Hazy IPAs, man. I know.
Which brand?
Oh, Monkish is, you know, by far world-class, arguably the best Hazy IPAs on the planet. They're out of Torrance, California. Anyone, you know, if you're watching, listening, if you ever come out to L.A., get to Monkish. If you're a Stout fan, get out to Bottle Logic, City of Orange, or Anaheim, rather. There's some fantastic beer here out in SoCal. But, Hazy IPAs from Monkish. And they've, you know, over the years, they come out with a new one, like, every week or two. So there's not really a specific one, but just their entire menagerie of IPAs that they make, their hazy stuff is just off the charts. It's just world class, and you got to try it.
So, Nico, are you staying local for you?
Yeah, well, it's summertime, so I like a Kolsch. So it's a nice little summer beer.
Yeah.
And a little history. Sonoma Springs, which used to be Sonoma Brewing, they make a good one, and they're starting to make a name for themselves. And did you know the first brewery in the United States was in Sonoma, California? It was Sonoma Brewing. Yeah, look it up. Wow. Look it up. It's been argued back and forth, but they have the documents.
Not in Milwaukee?
No, not in Milwaukee, which means good land, you know. But we're talking craft brewer, not the big old guys, but this is a small production. Nice. Craft brewers, and it was in Sonoma, California. I think it was in 1911 or something like that. So
awesome.
Currently my favorite beer is one of the IPAs from Smog City. Makes some great stuff.
Paper also at Torrance. Also in Torrance, right?
Yep, both of them. But I will say, I and it's just barely ahead of, you know, down the street from you, Pliny, the Russian River.
Russian River.
I've had this once in my life, and it was at Primo Manny, Manny Arredondo, your brother-in-law, heck, mm-hmm. also in our league. For his 50th birthday, he had Hetty Topper.
Hetty Topper. Mm-hmm.
That was a magical experience.
Yeah,
that
Alchemist was, Brewing. Shout out to Alchemist Brewing Company out there in Vermont.
Absolutely magical experience. Okay, so how about favorite NFL moment of all time? I think, Nico, I know which one you're going to say.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to go way back. Do you remember when it was Houston Oilers were down by halftime by like 25 points? Or they were up by 25 points, and they ended up coming back. I mean, we're talking way back. And again, it's my favorite, not live. I've seen the recordings back and forth and all that. I mean, we're doing NFL. My favorite of all football would probably be Auburn running it back from the end zone to win the game against Alabama. But that's college. But if we're going to talk about NFL, I think just watching it over and over again was the biggest comeback ever, you know, and I think it was a playoff, and they the Houston Oilers lost, I think it was, and they it was
Buffalo
like
Bills.
Buffalo Bills, 25 Bills. Points. They came back, and it was one of those things where it's like, you know, how do you do that one after another? It's like in the ninth inning, you're down 11 to like when the Athletics going for the 20th win, and they were up 11-1, Moneyball. Like, oh my God, they're gonna lose us, you know. But they ended up winning. But these guys ended up losing. So you gotta love, you know. If you're ever down by a whole bunch, it's, you know, you might be sad, but it's an opportunity to come back stronger and have the best memory of your life. So that's the way I look at it every time. That's what I tell the bank. I know I owe you this money, but, you know, this is an opportunity for you to get all of it back. I'm just kidding. I'm okay.
Classic. I have so many. God, there's so many good ones. Refrigerator Perry, you know, running in a touchdown in the 85 Super Bowl.
The catch. Remember,
you know, Jerry Rice, you know, taking a quick slant over the middle from Joe Montana in Super Bowl 16 when I was just a, you know, what, 13-year-old. But, man, for personally, what is specific to fantasy football, my favorite moment has to be when I had OBJ on my team when he made the catch.
That's like
I will forever remember that because he was on my team, and like everybody was like, "Oh my God, did you see that?" That was like the water cooler talk. All, you know, that's all anybody was talking about for days. It's like, "Did you see this catch?" And it got played over and over. And it's just to this day, it's like mind boggling that he actually caught the ball. It doesn't even make like physical sense.
It's like that moonwalk moment. Like, oh my God, did you see that?
Exactly. Yeah, when Michael Jackson did the moonwalk at the Motown 25 anniversary party on TV. Yes, yeah, exactly. No, same thing. And as far as fantasy goes, that's my claim to fame is that OBJ was on my team And I won that year. So shout out to OBJ.
He took you to the championship.
That's right.
I don't remember that. I don't know if I remember that.
So what did he like? So he like, it was like a quick slant and like over the middle, like you just were going at him. Like, what was it?
I remember you crying or something like that. I don't know.
No, that was me when Julio Jones got two touchdowns and got you the championship. So eso todavía duele, todavía duele. My moment, I actually got to see this live in San Diego. I went down with a group of friends to see the Miami Dolphins play the Chargers, and I actually got to see Dan Marino break the NFL record for all-time record for touchdowns. So that was kind of cool. What? And after he broke the record, I was wearing some Dolphin gear and my buddies were all wearing Dolphin gear, and the TV, they put us up on TV. It was the Sunday night game. It was really cool. Really
right on. Cool. That's pretty cool.
So that's my favorite. That's
my favorite. Announcers are like, that record will never be broken, you know, until like 4 years from now when they start passing the ball, you know.
Drop the mic, my brother. ¿Cómo estamos? California forever. Love it. Love it. All right. So we got another question. All right. So we talked about beer. This is a good one. This is from DMendy02. And what is the best topping to put on a pizza?
Mushrooms, by far.
Ooh.
It's a vegetable.
What kind of mushrooms?
Whatever, you know, like, yeah, not the magical kind. not the psilocybin, right? None of that. This is standard.
Legal in Colorado.
Pretty standard mushrooms. Yeah, love me some mushrooms. Then a little shake of the flaked red pepper on top. Done. You know, that's all I need. Mushroom pizza.
Nico, how about you?
Well, I mean, if they came to you and said, what is it? I mean, it's pepperoni, because that's all you're going to have, then pepperoni is right there. It's a standby, you know?
It is the gold standard for pizza. Yeah.
And you get the little cups and you drink the oil, and it's just, you know, people call you disgusting. But that's okay.
Shame on them.
Oh, I, you know, I don't want to be, actually, you know what? I love sausage.
Spicy Italian sausage. Like, that's
you know classic. You know what? Actually, the next time I make, because we make pizza at home sometimes, and you know, we try and limit how much meat we have, so we try and do it vegetarian style. Mm-hmm. But Trader Joe's makes an excellent soy chorizo. It's like it. I want to do it on pizza next time. I'm going to do it on pizza next time. It's, I'm going to saute it in some cebolla, some onions. Oh, I'm going to try that one.
You're Mexican. It's like chorizo and chicken. That's vegetarian, right? You know, hey, yeah.
It's exactly.
But I will say one time.
Yes.
I've had guac on a pizza and it's magical.
Really?
Give me some guacamole on pizza. Oh, it was.
That actually sounds good. We got to try that.
Oh, yeah. Dios mío. I'm hungry right now. I'm hungry too.
They had a contest up here. It was Mary's Pizza. And if you gave them the recipe that they would use, then you got free pizza for a year. And so I was all excited. I made mine and turned it in. I had a pico de gallo pizza. And I did not win. I couldn't believe that. But that's okay.
Oh, man. Drop the Mike FF. Yes, definitely. Go Dodgers. Vamos, Doyers.
Let's
Vamos
go.
Doyers. Oh, I haven't seen the score, but hopefully they're doing okay. Okay, so we've got from at Steven Rotto, keep bench cut, the Avengers edition. So you got, right. You know, it's this is a play on blank Mary Kill.
Yes.
So you got Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, Elizabeth Olsen, Scarlet Witch, and Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow.
Ooh.
Heck, start us up. Lead us off.
Scarlett Johansson. I mean, I've had a minor crush on Scarlett Johansson for a little while now, and can't go wrong with the Black Widow. So she's one I'm keeping. I'm gonna probably cut Elizabeth Olsen, just only because I'm a big fan of Brie Larson, so I'll keep her on the bench. So that's how we play this one, I guess. So that's my order, I suppose. Scarlett Johansson is top of my list.
Scarlett Johansson. Oh, Nico. Primo.
I just like Scarlett because I want to hang out with her and stuff like that. But she's got no power. I mean, she's got, you know.
She's like Batman. She just, yeah. She can't like walk through walls and stuff.
Yeah.
She's the only one of the three who can die. So, and who, you know.
There you go. Alert. There's something to spoiler say alert for that, you know.
I invite everybody over to my house. You know, we have some carne asada tacos, which is also one of my favorite dishes and stuff like that. So it's all good.
There you go.
Yeah.
So who's your? How do you have them ranked?
I think I don't know. Olsen first, Johansson last. You know, and so you know.
Ooh. Boo.
I'm looking at my power. I got to win the game, right? You know, touchdown every time with Olsen, like, you know, with the mind, and there it is. You know.
So, all right. So I am. So I'm flipping a coin between Brie Larson and Scarlett Johansson. I'm gonna go. You know what? I'm gonna go Captain Marvel because I'm thinking she can take me through the universe. So fingers crossed on that one.
That's
your
echo.
Yeah, that's true.
Echo. I'm going to go with her. I am going to do bench Scarlett Johansson just because I want to keep her at the ready. And cutting Elizabeth Olsen because Scarlet Witch is in love with Vision. So I don't want to break that up. So
yeah.
I'm going to leave her with that one. But yes. Mm-hmm. Brie
Larson. Yeah, superheroes. Yeah, having a relationship with a superhero, you know, that can do, like you say, it can fly or
it cannot be easy. You know, not easy.
Have laser beams coming out of their eyeballs. You know, that's, you know, that makes for, you know, good times.
I do smile.
Can you burn down the top of that tree with your eyeballs? Let's do that again. That's so cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Can we go to Mars for the weekend?
Yeah, totally. Let's fly. Like, remember, was it us in Superman 2 when like Superman took Lois Lane to like the Fortress of Solitude and like brought her the rose, and so romantic to fly someone around the world into like a big ice fortress. It's very romantic. I highly recommend it.
And I'm a very since I'm an enlightened man, father of, you know, girl dad. Yes, I want to. I'm happy to let her drive.
There you go.
All right. Our last question, Nico, you're going to lead us off. What's your go-to karaoke song? This is coming from Ben C. Uh-oh, Nico, you're on mute.
Who's Nico?
Nico, you're on mute.
Well, I was just getting my voice ready. You guys ready for that? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're going
to. No.
What do we got?
Everyone's got a go-to song. Mine's Drift Away. Give me the beat, boy, to free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Oh, man.
Take me That's away. Good. That's it.
Hector.
I'm a crooner. I lean on Sinatra. You know, those are my go-tos. Also, Engelbert has a good one. Last Waltz is always, you know, when I'm really – Throwing back a couple, Last Waltz comes out, and because like, you can yell in that song. Like Fly Me to the Moon. I'll throw that one out there, and you know that's you know, like I said, I lean on Sinatra. So you know, there's a lot of songs in Sinatra's songbook. So I could pick out a handful and you know sing any of them. So I'll go that route.
All right, I guess we'll find out a draft, right?
That's right. That's right. Hey, we should do that. Right?
For group singing, to me, there's nothing like what we're gonna do in early November. All of us, plus the rest of the male, is us all singing Suavecito to our prima getting married.
Yeah, so, man.
That's one. But I will say the song that I've had the most fun, and it was one of the I got to sing it in a big crowd, "Sweet Caroline." Let me tell you something. When you know that part where you're, you know, "Sweet Caroline," and everybody, when you get a huge crowd, I had a huge crowd sing it back to me. Ay Dios mío, it was it was better than any drug I could possibly imagine. So it was, I was on adrenaline times a million. It was one of the most,
that's pretty
the
cool. greatest.
I'm like, this is why Springsteen is still performing at age 70. Cause that, if you get that, I got that one that I got, I've got that. And oh, excuse me.
Which stadium is the one that sings the song? They have it as one of their go-to. I think it's Pittsburgh.
Boston Red Sox.
Boston. Yeah. Boston sings
yes.
it. Fenway yes. Park.
And they get into it. They get into it. So I love it. Good times never seem so good. So good. And I will say this episode was so good.
So good.
Close. Let's close it out. Everybody.
It's closed out. Yeah,
because Hector's dry, so he's got to get another beer.
I know.
I got something waiting for me. Everybody, familia. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks to Anchor for being our hosting network. Thanks to YouTube and Periscope and StreamYard for putting our faces out there to you guys. Nico, thank you for pinch hitting for Ricky. Ricky, hopefully you check come in next week. Make sure you find our original content at familiaffb.com. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17. Heck, where are they finding you?
At what the heck? There it is.
And Nico, there, yeah, you, we can find you in Las Vegas because you are Nico Las Vegas. So, yes, and you can also find at Familia FFB on Twitter and Instagram, and find us on Facebook. Familia otra vez primos. This was a blast. Everybody, keep getting there. We're gonna be back next week. We're gonna have some good strategy to start talking about. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Pam pam pam.
Good times. Good times.
Good times never seem so good. And salud.